blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 384, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. 1, 4, and 5 of 384.
Thank you. scripture reading for this evening can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew in their chapter 16. But first, we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 16, beginning with verse 13 to and including verse 20. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus, the Christ. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of this earth, the creator thereof, but also the provider thereof, to whom we owe our existence and all the provision that thou givest unto us each and every day. But our backs are to thee. As we are born into this world, sons and daughters, the offspring of our fathers and mothers, but especially of our father Adam, and also he, our covenant head, as so that we are on every side both corrupt and guilty from the womb, and we make it evident in our life, because it is as thou didst say concerning that tree, no fruit from this tree forever. Lord, thou knowest our hearts, thou seest within, and there is not one of us that is able to stand before thee in thy most holy sight and in that judgment that is coming so quickly to us and to our children at the end of our life and at the end of this world. But we do not have eyes to behold it except thou givest it in our hearts for the first time, but also by renewal. O Lord, Thou art not only the creator of this world, thou art also the redeemer of thy church. And thou dost bring a people back again into thy favor, into thy communion. And thou bringest them back again into thy service. Oh, look thou on us also and on our children. For thou art our only hope and our only expectation. For we can read in thy word and that thou hast elected a people from a never begun eternity. And there now lies our hope, who are dead in trespasses and sins and that cannot help ourselves. To give ourselves a single good desire, a longing, a sigh, a motive in our hearts, because our whole being, our whole existence, our whole disposition, that is all evil, it is all corrupt, dead in trespasses and in sins. Lord, show it unto us. But give us also a desire that it may become different, because thou hast sent thy dear Son into this world, and thou then givest hope in the midst of this world, and thou dost give hope also in a special way in the midst of the visible church when it is to be declared. Oh, we can read, we have heard it in these moments. Thou didst say to thy disciples to tell no man, and that thou wert Jesus the Christ. And because of the time, but there would be another time when they would have to open their mouths and they would have to preach that blessed and everlasting gospel. Oh, that thou may give in the midst of us that blessed working of thy most Holy Spirit to give a new life from the dead. We and our children and our grandchildren and all those in the midst of the congregation, Lord, that thou may work mightily, for thou art mighty. And we ask of thee great things, but thou art a great God. And we ask of thee mercy, and we ask of thee grace. But thou hast declared it in thy word, who that thou art. And wilt thou glorify thyself then as such in the midst of us. And we are called in this week to examine ourselves in preparation for the commemoration of thy death. Thy suffering and the giving of thyself. Lord, it is a great responsibility that we have as thy servant to bring thy word in such days as this. Then it must be every time again, but now in a special way. To be honest with the souls of men. That we may be enabled to take forth the precious from the vile, that those who are thine might hear their own name and also thy name with their name. Oh, then there is a hope, then there is expectation. But give us also to be able clearly to show what is not of thee, and because we travel together to stand at thy judgment seat, when that eyes of fire, they shall penetrate into the heart of man. And where then shall we find a hiding place from thy wrath and from thy hot displeasure? Oh, do prevent us from eating and drinking judgment unto ourselves. Then it is not our task to keep a man away, but Lord, it is our task to lay before the congregation the marks Oh, that thou may give us wisdom, that thou may give us clarity, and wilt thou give simplicity, that all may understand with the mind, but also that thy own people may hear thy voice, that they may be called to do this in remembrance of thee. Wilt thou remember the children and the youth, O give to them in the days of their youth desires. Because we have all desires after the world and after the flesh, but no desires after thee, Lord, wilt thou keep them in the days of their youth from all the vanity and the hopes of the world, which will come to naught, and which will be soon cut off. Naked came I, thy servant did say, out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. So many expectations that are sought for in this world for so long a time, until a man does draw near unto the grave, and there are those also who stand with one foot there already, Lord, then we can feel the age creeping upon us, the weaknesses of the body, of the mind. Lord, all things testify that man goeth unto his long home. Oh, that we may be given also in old age, and that we may seek thee when it is late, then it is not yet too late. Oh, that there may also be a crumb from the Master's table for such ones who do say, Lord, I am but a dog, given my life over to the world, my whole life. But is there yet a way for such as I am also? Wilt thou remember afflicted ones in this world? Thou art a God, and despite our own guilt and sin and the punishment thereof, and that does look upon the poor and upon the needy, oh, that we also may have an eye to them continually, and that thou may thyself remember them in all their affliction, when they are not able to help themselves. Remember the needy, remember the handicapped, remember the widows, all widowers, all orphans, all those that have no place to live, that are without father and mother, and that are in great need because of addictions. Lord, thou knowest where that they are. Help thou thy servants over the length and breadth of this whole world. Lord, remember our denomination in thy mercy. Oh, do keep us, we and our children, that the truth that thou hast given unto us from our forefathers may it remain among us, because we can read in thy word that thou dost threaten to take the candlestick out of the midst of thy church. And we are worthy, but Lord, wilt thou remember us, and wilt thou not deal with us according to that which we deserve, but look upon us and glorify thyself in the midst of us. Wilt thou help all thy servants to bring thy word? And wilt thou be with those on the mission field also in all their needs? Care for us. In this hour wilt thou be with thy nearness, with thy presence in a felt way in the midst of us. Strengthen us for the labors of our hands. Give thy spirit in a rich measure. Give us to see our sin. Give us sorrow, therefore, and hope in thy dear and only begotten Son. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 417, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation. There neath thy wing I'll be supplied, and with grace thou wilt provide. We make the following announcements. The service times for next week are incorrect in the church news. The Lord willing, there will be a reading service in the morning, administration of the Lord's Supper in the afternoon, and a reflection service at 7 p.m. Mr. and Mrs. Ron and Jane Grisnick have expressed sorrow for removing their membership years ago against their confession. They desire to become confessing members once again. Lawful objection should be brought to the attention of the consistory by Tuesday, February the 28th. 417, 1, 2, and 3. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Matthew 16, and thereof the 17th verse, Matthew 16, verse 7. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So far the words of our text. A divine revelation. First, the necessity of a divine revelation. Second, the power of a divine revelation. And third, the blessedness of a divine revelation. A divine revelation, first, the necessity. Second, the power. And third, the blessedness thereof. Flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee. Thus, of what does the Lord Jesus speak? He says, it hath not revealed it unto thee. And the Lord Jesus examines his disciples. How will it be for us when Christ shall examine us? Because one day we will stand at his throne and he will ask us questions. And then especially this question is going to come unto us. What does he ask about? He asks about the estimation of him. What is thought of him? How important is this estimation? Because the Bible says that salvation that is in him alone, and that without believing in him, then there is no salvation. Thus the Lord Jesus, he says to his disciples, Whom say ye that I am? That is now what he says is an important question for self-examination. Why? Well, we begin today a week of preparation for the Holy Supper. And that Holy Supper is about whom, boys and girls? Who is that about? You say that is about the Lord Jesus. That is right. That is all about him. At that table, there will be tokens of him. At the table, there will be signs, symbols of him that he himself has given that represent him, that represent what he has done. So that supper, that is all about Christ. And thus, the question, Whom say ye that I am? That is, of course, of the utmost importance for us when we will examine ourselves in this week. But it is not only for the Lord's Supper, because the Lord's Supper that is given by the Lord Jesus as an institution for the sake of his church here upon the world, but there is also a soul in every one of us that has to die. And this question is a question that reveals whether the work that is within our soul is a true work or whether it is only our own work. That question is revealing it. That question is manifesting it. It is bringing it out. Whom say ye that I am? If we would look at Christian and Pliable when they left that city of destruction, then you say we cannot tell the difference between those two men. Is there a difference? There is a great difference. A great difference. One is a man of the world, and one is a man of God. It is a difference between life and death. But we cannot see that. But now we see one of them does come into that wicked gate, and the other one does not. Thus, there are many that have begun on that journey that have never come, that have never entered through that gate. And thus, we have a distinguishing point in the life of God's people, true regeneration that is always leading unto Christ. Eventually, that may take a long time, but it has to lead unto Him. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. What unto thee? Well, what did Peter say? He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thus, there is a confession. It is a confession of his estimation of Jesus. And now the Lord Jesus says to Peter that this estimation that you have of me that did not come from you. That is an estimation that lives in your heart, that is, he says, the work of God. He says, the work of my Father which is in heaven has revealed it unto thee. Thus, he does not say Christ, and he does not say the Holy Ghost, but he does not distinguish there the Father from Christ or from the Holy Ghost. No. He says, really, he uses the term Father, but he says, this is what comes from God. So, over against the work of man, because he says, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but God did, my Father did. Thus, he distinguishes revelations that come from man from revelations that come from God. The Lord Jesus says these two revelations exist, and these are two different things that need to be distinguished from one another. Thus, in the first place, he says that it is by revelation. My Father has revealed it unto thee. So what does revelation mean? That means to uncover something. Like a blanket is over top of it, boys and girls, and you cannot see it. And then the blanket comes off. The veil comes off. And as soon as that veil is off, then you see. Then that thing underneath that is revealed. We would say when there is light. When light is shining on something that is in the dark, then that thing is revealed. Christ is a hidden person for his people. He needs to be revealed. Do we believe that? Because there are many people who do not believe that. But if you speak to God's experienced church in the Bible, because we can hear them speak to us in the Bible, we read of in the Song of Solomon, that the bride says that he standeth behind our wall, showing himself through the lattice, so through the lattice work, then he can be seen a little bit, but it is not as if I can see him whenever I wish, but he is the one who is showing himself through that lattice. Thus, how often are not the children of the Lord begging him that he will show himself? You can read that also in the Song of Solomon. She says, wilt thou come into the field, and that he would appear unto her, that he would bring her into the banqueting house, that she may have communion with him, because he is so hidden. And thus, the Lord speaks about a revelation. Well, you say, young people, the Bible is the revealed word of God. We do not need more than the Bible, do we? Oh, no. Oh, no. We do not need more than the Bible. In other words, the Bible that is complete. But Christ does not speak about that revelation here. The Lord Jesus is speaking here about a different revelation. Do we need more than the Bible? Well, you know you need more than the Bible in this sense, that you read the Bible every day, but you say, that word of God does not touch my heart, right? And now you say, I know I need more than just to have the Bible. And then that word of God also needs to be applied unto me. It needs to mean something to me. And that is now what the Lord Jesus is speaking about. He speaks about something that is personal. He says, revealed unto thee, Peter, and unto the rest now of the disciples. So the Lord has opened something to you. The Lord has taken the veil off of something for you, that your eyes may see it, that you may believe it. Here, the Lord is distinguishing the revelations of men from the revelations of God. He speaks about the revelations of flesh and blood. They are natural. You have them two children, and you go to school, and you sit and you listen closely to your teachers, and then they teach you something. And when they teach you something new, and you say, I have never known that. Maybe you go home, you say to mother, to father, I have heard something today. I have never known that in my whole life. Sometimes in your books, then they show that with a child, and then there is a little light bulb by his head. Then there is a certain truth, there is something that has lit up, we say, in his mind. And what is that now? Well, that is a revelation. Something has been uncovered for you. And it is a revelation of flesh and blood. People, your teacher, your mother, your father, they have revealed something to you. And we do that every day. And we learn these kinds of things every day. And now, it is also the same with religious truth. So, about the Lord Jesus. And then sometimes, then you are going to learn things from your catechism teacher, maybe, or your teacher in school, or your parents. And there you say, well, I never knew that before. It is something that is revealed to me. Yes. By whom? By whom? By your mother. It is revealed to you by your father. That is what the Lord Jesus is speaking about here. He says, flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee. So there are some revelations about Christ that are coming from flesh and blood that are not revealed to us by the Father. Now you have the fears of God's people. And now they sit and they say, that is exactly what I am afraid of. Because what is now the difference? Did I learn this from my father? I have heard it all my life long. Did I learn this about Christ? My estimation of him, is that now from my father and from my mother? Is that from my upbringing, or is this now something that comes from the Lord? And then they are jealous here of Peter and these disciples whom the Lord declares. He says it himself. That is not Peter. That is the Lord Jesus who knows the heart of Peter. And he says to him, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh, how many of you today would you say, oh, if I could hear that, if I could know that, that that was revealed to me by God. We say the necessity of a divine revelation. Why? Because there are other estimations of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know, of course, that the world has a certain estimation of him. And what is that? Well, there is a rejection of him. There is a rejection of God, a rejection of his creation, and of his providence, and his commandments, and of his day, and so on. But here we speak not about the world. The Lord Jesus here is asking his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So he asked the disciples, what is now the opinion of the people? That is not of the world, that is of the people to whom you have been preaching. I have been preaching. John the Baptist has been preaching. And when we have now been preaching, what is now the success of that preaching? Oh, that is something that we would like to know too. What is now the success of the preaching? But that is now not something that we can know. That is something that the Lord, he is asking after. And he asked that opinion, and the disciples give him an answer. Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So now all those different opinions. Many of them, one says one thing, one says another thing. Are they right? No, you say, they are not right. No, many different opinions, and they're all wrong. Because there are so many ways that we can go wrong. But there is now only one way that we can go right. Now think about their opinions. What all these people are thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. They are very honorable opinions. John the Baptist is a very honorable man. And Jeremiah the prophet, Elias. So these persons have much respect for the Lord Jesus. Do we? Does our opinion of him come up even to the opinion of these persons, these Jews, who were entirely wrong, but they have an honorable opinion of the Lord Jesus Christ? And the Lord says that these are opinions that are being worked by flesh and blood. Thus, it is possible that when we are brought up under the truth, that we receive an honorable opinion of Christ. Very honorable. That we have a great respect and that we have much esteem for him. And yet, these are the revelations of men. They are revelations which are natural. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says Peter's estimation that is living in his heart is different. It has a different origin. It comes from a different place. It is not coming from people. It is not coming from a natural upbringing. But it is something that has been revealed to him from, he says, God himself. So we see in our second thought the power of this, the power of this revelation. But whom say ye that I, the Son of Man, am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Lord Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. That is how that the Lord Jesus appeared in the flesh. That is how everyone in the world could see him. But Peter says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thus, Peter sees something that is hidden from so many people among the Jews, we would say among the visible church, who saw such, who esteemed him so, who honored him so, as a great prophet, as a great teacher. No, Peter has seen something much more hidden from so many, even hidden from God's people in the beginning of that life. Because we read of the daughters of Jerusalem. So they're born in Jerusalem. We would say they are converts, the young converts. And they are asking that bride, that experienced bride, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? Thus, a person can be converted, a person can be born again, and yet he does not see who that Christ is. No. That does not mean that they are unconverted. But the Lord, he leads his people step by step unto himself. That is often taking time in a natural way that takes time in the life of God's own children. Because Isaac said to Jacob, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? You go out in the field. Then you have just left, and you have to go find it, and you have to roast it, and that takes much more time than that, normally. Oh, the Lord thy God brought it to me. Oh, yeah, that is possible. That is possible, but that is not natural. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says that temporary faith that is coming up quickly, but it has no root. So that true saving faith is typically, he says, taking more time that it may develop. that it may have a good root. Thus, that Christ is not yet the object of faith does not mean that a person is unconverted. That does not mean that he has no faith at all, because there are different objects of faith. And Christ is not the first object. No, God is the object. The Word of God is the object of faith. And thus, the Lord is leading unto himself, and it is necessary that faith be brought unto that place. Peter, he says, thou art the Christ. Now, what does Christ mean? Our young people know that. Christ that is anointed. So Peter, he says, thou art the anointed of the Father. He sees in him the fulfillment of all the promises of God. And when the Lord has promised and spoken of the coming of that Messiah from the very beginning, since the fall, and when the Lord has increasingly given knowledge of him, then Peter says, thou art he. And he confesses the great power of Christ. Because when he is himself the Son of God, not just the Son of man, but he is the Son of the living God, then Peter sees that he is the Savior of sinners. He confesses that it is he who was appointed to that work from his Father. He says, thou art he that is qualified by thy Father to do this work. And now the Lord Jesus says, Peter, this has been revealed unto thee by my Father. That is something that all your teachers in this world, all of your parents in this world, no man in this world is able to give you to know the power of that Son of Man, that you may know that he is the Son of that living God, the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We say the power of that revelation. And how does the Lord do that? Because that is a most powerful work. That is necessary power. Do you believe that? That power is necessary? Do you feel that? Do you feel deadness? That you say a power is necessary? Or do you believe that you are, and a man in this world is just ready to receive Christ and to embrace Christ as his own Savior? Just a little moral suasion, the Arminians say. A little moral suasion. Can we convince you, a good speaker, very eloquent, and he can convince you to do something which, well, to accept the Lord Jesus? Is that what we believe? If we do, then we do not know ourselves. Then we do not understand. Then we have never experienced the depth of our fall. Let's take a moment to look. The Lord Jesus came into this world, and then he gave pictures for the people of his work, of his salvation, of his deliverance. What were those pictures? Our children can tell us. They were all of his miracles, one after the other. The divinity of Christ. Thou art the Son of God, the Son of the living God. That has shown through his his humanity in his miracles. But who were the objects of the miracles of Christ? There were two things that you can see in every one of those objects: misery and poverty. Helplessness in every single one of them. No power to deliver themselves, and a necessity, a need to be delivered. Were they different? Sure, they were different. They were all different. But these things were common to them all. The lepers, an incurable disease. The blind, the deaf, the dumb, and so on. Thus, lying in their misery, persons with no hope of delivering themselves. There's only one thing that people can do, and that is to cry. To cry. To cry for mercy. To cry out for power. The power of the living God. They did not cry out to the Pharisees to help us. You do not hear that, children. The lepers crying out to the Pharisees or the publicans or the other people. No. They're crying out unto Christ. They were given miraculous faith. What is now the ailment that Christ came to deliver his people from in this world? Was that from leprosy or blindness or deafness? He said, no, they were just pictures. What is now the ailment that Christ came to deliver his people from in this world? That is sin. Sin. Do you have sin? Well, we will all say yes. But is sin an ailment? Is it an ailment? Is it a pleasure? Or is it an ailment which is leading us to eternal death? How do we see that? In the second place, did we ever despair under our sin? Despair to cure yourself by your efforts, by your wisdom, by your righteousness, that is now necessary. Self-despair. Because if a man never despairs of himself, a man never looks for a way outside of himself. Never. He still has some power of his own. But Christ is not a half-savior. He is not just a helper. No, he is a full savior. And he is not going to receive some of the honor, but he is going to receive all of the honor. But let us sing 240, stanzas 1 and 3. Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance in thy mercy. Answer me. 1 and 3 of 240. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Our third thought, blessed Peter. Blessed Peter, blessed church, to whom is revealed the Christ, the Son of the living God. Was he now ever revealed unto you? That is necessary for our soul. That is necessary in order that we may attend the table of the Lord. Our estimation of Christ has to change. It cannot remain the same as when we were born. We need to know him, and we need to learn to worship him as he truly is, the anointed of God, as the Savior of sinners. Who showed that now unto Peter? The Lord Jesus says, my Father. He revealed it. He took off that cover. He shed light upon it. He took off that veil. A most powerful revelation. Because light is powerful, very powerful. It can be known how? By its effects. You say maybe, but it was a light that was so dim. Thus, how great is that light? Well, we do not say how great that light is. We only say that that light is very, very powerful. Now, if you go out in the sunshine, children, and your brother will have a little flashlight and the battery almost gone, and then you say there is tiny, tiny bit of light, you cannot even see it. Cannot even see it. Is that light powerful? You say not when you are in the sunshine. But is that light powerful when you are in the darkness? When there are people that are trapped in a mine, in a coal mine, then it is pitch black. And when their rescuers are trying to come to them, they can see nothing. They cannot see the hand in front of them. And when there is the tiniest ray of light, is that powerful? You say that it is very powerful, even though it is very, very small. Why is it so powerful? Because it was so dark. And what does that little ray of light give in that darkness? What would it give to you, children? You are waiting and waiting, and you are praying and you are praying to be rescued. And there is suddenly the tiniest, tiniest ray of light. What will that give to you? What would that do in your heart? You say, that will give me hope. Hope. Right? And hope. Is that powerful? Is that powerful? Or it is powerful if we know what despair is. That is hope in self-despair. A great difference between despair and hope. And we will know hope in its power, though it be so small, if we know despair. Then there is a possibility, maybe, who can tell? In my impossibility. Thus, true religion is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. Regeneration, that gives life. You say, does that little baby know that it is born? It cannot say that, it cannot think that, but it knows it. It knows it why? Because it breathes, because it hungers. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. Oh, they feel it. They know it. That can be in the very beginning already. Do you think that self-despair is something that a person would not know of? To despair. You say, that is not possible. That is not possible. Is that necessary now? Is that really necessary that a person is brought to self-despair? It is. It is. It is absolutely necessary because that old covenant is broken. Broken. And there is not the least hope that can rightly begotten from that covenant. Paul, he says, a woman that has a husband is bound to that husband as long as her husband lives. But when her husband is what? Dead. When he is dead, then only then may she be married to another man. Look it up, Romans 7. Then he is not speaking about husbands and wives. He is using an example. And he speaks about the law. And he speaks about that law dying. How that a man has to die to that law. And as long as that law is not dead, there is no place for another husband. Christ, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, we read he abode yet 2 days in the place where he was. 2 days. Why? He says it himself. He says that the Son of Man may be glorified. Now those 2 days, how was that for Lazarus and for Martha and for Mary? Was that easy for them? Oh no. Oh no. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And if we could have kept him alive, we tried everything that we could. We did not want him to die. No, we do not want to die. And we do not want that law to die because that is the way that we do not die. And so we fight it. Do you know what the Lord Jesus says? He says, "Ye will not come unto me that ye might have life." Do you believe that? Or do you think you are not really dead in sins and in trespasses? We are enemies of God. And we're enemies of His salvation because the glory has to go to Him, and I want it. That is what Adam did, the first sin, and it has continued to this moment. It doesn't go away from God's people unless the Lord, He takes it away from them. Oh, Christ becomes precious to His people. Yes. When? When the Lord is revealing Him unto a helpless, miserable sinner. That's the only way. Do we know what that way is? How much work that the Spirit of the Lord has to do to bring a person in that place? Or do you think you can come there easily? We do not read that in the Word of God. We read in the Word of God that man fights. He fights and he fights and he fights to do what? To maintain his life. To maintain himself, to keep himself above the water, we say. He does not just give that up. Oh, to assent, to agree to that salvation that is in Christ, then I must forego, I must reject the salvation that can be found in me. All my righteousnesses, all my wisdom, all my strength, that must come to an end. I don't just do that. No, the Lord has to come against me. The Lord has to become too strong for me. Israel cried unto the Lord when they were in captivity in that land of Egypt. And then the Lord sends Moses. And then they think, well, now is our deliverance. And then it goes here from strength to strength. Now we're going to go out. And what happens? Oh, there comes a time that the people, they come up to Moses and they are angry with him. Why? Because they are not delivered. No, it gets worse. And you have made our savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. Oh, the dirt comes out. What is living in our heart? They receive some more encouragement and they go out and they're coming down toward that sea. And now Pharaoh is behind them. Death is behind them. An army is behind them. And what do? They are crying out again. Crying out again. They do not cry for help now. No, they go against Moses again. Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou brought us here to die in the wilderness? Oh, we fight. We fight the whole way down. We are not ready to accept Christ. We are not ready to give up our own strength. We need to learn who we are. And now, there they are standing in that impossibility. And now what happens? Oh, the Lord opens a way. The Lord opens a way in that scene. What do you think went on in the heart of that people when the Lord opened that way? Oh, what a sight that was for those people. A miracle. A miracle. In their distress, a And now that way, that was their only hope. That was now their only expectation in their guilt and in their misery and in their helplessness. What do they see in that way? Power. Power. They see the power of God. Oh, they feel the mercy of God in their misery. A way of deliverance. They feel the grace of God in their guilt. Oh, these rebellious people. And the Lord, He opens for them a way. And what do? They go toward it. They go toward it. They flee. They flee unto that way in faith. In faith. They acquiesce. They agree. They agree with this way. And now they have to go down. Down into that sea. The walls on one side and on the other. And now they have to trust. Trust. Oh, they cast themselves into the hands of the Lord. Blessed people. What do you think now? Now we look back. You say, people. Now you look back. Look back to the time that you are in that land of Egypt. Do you remember the day? You remember the day that burden was laid on you by the Egyptians? Do you remember that day? What do you think they would say? I don't actually know exactly what day that was. Because that didn't happen just in one day. That was just, well, it happened slowly. That burden began to increase and that burden began to become more and more. And finally that it was so unbearable that I began to cry to God. Oh, they did not know that day. But ask them now. If they remember the day that they stood there by that sea. In all their misery, in all their helplessness. In the blackness of self-despair. And when the Lord opened a way in that sea. Now ask them. Or they say, I remember it like yesterday. That is a day that cannot be wiped out of my mind and of my heart. Why not? Because there is a great difference between despair and hope. That is why they cannot forget that day. Hope. That is the power when the Lord is revealing His Son to a person in their helplessness, in their guilt, in their sin, that cannot deliver themselves. It is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. And the hope in that day of despair that is not forgotten by that people. Grace. Grace. Over against the hopelessness of a broken covenant. That is now what the Lord is opening. The Lord is shedding light. Oh, you say it was so small. But was it powerful? And why? because that was the first time that I saw hope. Hope in his only begotten Son. And then he became so necessary for me, so suitable to my soul, so precious unto me, that I began to say, Lord, could I have a little more light, a little more light, that I might see him, that I might know him, oh, that I may commune with him, that I might hear his voice. Oh, if they had to add one thing so impossible, then that had to make room for that blessed revelation, only one way. That only begotten Son of God, and now so fitted unto a case such as mine. And when Christian, he came into that wicked gate, when was that? It was after he despaired at Mount Sinai. Oh, he saw one thing in the law of God that was despair. Despair. It was the curses, that mountain, that fire. It is going to fall on my head. There was no more hope for him in that way. And then the Lord brought him through that wicked gate. A little gate, just a little gate, that is the name, wicked. And then he says, I rejoice. Oh, they know what it is to rejoice, but he also said, I tremble. Why? Because he is not there yet. He is not there yet. It is just hope. Paul says it is that we are saved by hope. But that hope that has yet to be fulfilled. And so that people are looking and they are fleeing toward that light. They are fleeing toward him who is that light, who is revealed to him by his Father. Whom say ye that I, the Son of Man, am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear, because there are so many persons in the world and in the church who have never seen such a blessed sight. But we need to see it. We need to behold it as he is revealed by the Father. We need to behold his power. We need to behold his mercy. We need to behold his grace. In all our wretchedness, in all our guilt, in all our misery, in all our helplessness, then faith begins to hope. Faith begins to look. Faith begins to flee unto the Son of God, the Son of the living God, as revealed by the Father. And now Christ, he calls them, and he says to such, do this in remembrance of me, who are able. And when we are able, we desire to remember him. Oh, the Lord, give to us that true self-examination, the congregation, then we are honest with ourselves. Oh, that we beg the Lord to open our eyes and to keep us, that we would never do it with the revelations of flesh and blood, because he says, then we eat and drink judgment unto ourselves. But those who are no strangers to that blessed revelation of the Father, oh, the Lord, give them then the freedom to come and to do it in remembrance of him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is a few words, but Lord, open our eyes and help us in that difficult work of self-examination. And when we must say that we are utter strangers of such matters, O Lord, wilt thou give then a cry in our heart, a desire in our heart, that we might see that we are missing that one thing that is needful, and that it may become the greatest burden of our life. Oh, that we might say then to thee, Lord, I am without hope and without God in this world. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Help each one in all the labors and all that lies before us in this week. Keep from danger and accident. Be with the children at school. Be with those in colleges and universities. Be with the fathers in their labors, the mothers in their homes. Give us time, a little separation from the world in this week, that we may do each one for himself, and that labor of self-examination, that there may be much communication between earth and heaven in the week that is to come, and that thy light may be shown unto those that sit in darkness. And wilt thou forgive and take away our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 422, 5, and 6. How blessed, Lord, are they who know the joyful sound, who when they hear thy voice in happiness abound. 5 and 6 of 422.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.